Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look out! It's only films to be buried with.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a passport photo, and I love film. As Hippocrates once said, let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food, and cinema be thy church, and church be thy cinema. Okay. Every week, I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Sharon Stone, Jamila Jamil, Barry Jenkins, Mark Frost, James Acaster, and even Shed Clambles. But this week, it is the incredible and brilliant and wonderful Sarah Niles. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra 15 to 20 minutes of chat, secrets, more questions with Sarah. You get the whole episode uncut, ad-free, and as a video. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. To everyone who came to the Hackney Empire this weekend to see the live show, thank you for coming. It was so fucking fun. Phil loved it. I loved it. You guys were amazing. It was brilliant. Thank you very, very much. I'll do another one soon, hopefully. I hope some of you come back and people who weren't there, you come to that one. Oh, it was good. Well done, everyone. So, Sarah Niles. Sarah Niles plays Dr. Sharon Fieldstone in Ted Lasso, and I think we can all agree she is fucking phenomenal in that show. She's an amazing actor. She's so funny. She's so lovely to work with. She laughs all the time, and you don't see that because she's a very good actor. So she doesn't do that on screen in this. Anyway, I've been desperate to get her on the podcast for ages. She's finally done it. We had such a lovely time. And I think you're going to love it. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 203 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is I, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by a rocker, a beautiful peopler, a may destroy you, a catastropher, a Ted Lassoer, a stage and screen goddess, and the greatest cyclist of her generation. Please welcome to the show. It's one of the all-time greats. I can't believe I got her. Believe me, it took a while. Please welcome. It's the brilliant. It's Sarah Niles.
I didn't expect that. Thank you very much, Brett. What an introduction.
Hello, Sarah. What a pleasure to see you.
And you.
Now, this is a great honour that you're doing a podcast because I asked you to do this about 2 years ago and you said, absolutely not. You said, no way, I won't do podcasts. And then our Lord and Saviour, Brené Brown, asked you to go on her podcast and you went like that. No questions asked. And I thought, yes, sure, of course.
Oh, of course, yes. Well, it's Brené Brown. I do love you too, Brett.
Listen, I happily step aside for Brené Brown, but still, after that, I was like, oh, okay. And here we are.
Apologies.
Here we are. I'm so happy to see you.
And you.
Now, I first met you on Ted Lasso, season 2. And what I love about you so much is you're a phenomenal actor, incredible actor, and very serious actor. So, such a serious actor. And in real life, you laugh all the time, and I don't know how anyone, like, when you know you, it's like you're probably an even greater actor than people think, because every time between takes you're pissing yourself laughing.
Yeah, I think when I first worked with Jason, I think he was a little bit confused. Oh. I was like, what's she doing? Yeah.
Well, you're brilliant, as everyone knows. Tell me, were you scared to join a cast of people that had been working together closely previous?
I wasn't until you said it.
Were we scary?
No, you weren't. You weren't scary. I think probably. I think it was until you said to me, "What was it like? What's it like?"
Oh, really?
And I suddenly realised, like, you know, I'd just been going through the motions of it all, and I realised, like, oh my god, yeah. And then after that, the whole afternoon, I was kind of like, I'm like the new kid at school. This is so weird.
Oh, I'm sorry I put that in your head.
But there was so much love. There's so much love with everyone on Ted Lasso. It's just, it's really special. Yeah. Just makes a joy coming into work.
Yeah. One of my favourite days filming was the first day you were on a bike, and we'd written the character to be like incredible on a bike, like a slick bike. But part of her thing was she gets shit done. She's on a bike. She builds a bike. She goes on the bike. And it turned out you perhaps hadn't ever been on a bike by the looks of it.
Yeah.
You sort of, in the background of a shot, just had to appear on the bike, and you wobbled and you wobbled into frame, and you were laughing so much. And I could just hear you just laughing in the background. And then you said something to Jason like, oh, I'm maybe not that good on a bike. And he said, do you think Brett's good at football?
Yeah, he did. Which is very encouraging, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember you. You were in like one of the trailers, or you were in the car. And I remember you and you and Juno. Juno's so she's so encouraging. She's like, "You've got it. You've got it." It's like, "Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah." Fun. Good fun. Tell me what you're in a film that I love very much, Rocks. What was that like to do? It seems very improvised, or is it? As in, it feels so real. And what was that like to be part of?
It was such a joy to work on that, because it was they had two writers, but it was kind of improvised, and they had, you know, these young kind of actors who'd never done acting before, but they'd done like drama workshops and they'd been together for some time. They were just so lovely and natural. I mean, you could have written a story about every single one of those young girls. It was that good. And it was just a joy to be around that energy. And they were just fearless. They just wanted to play. I just was like, wow. I'd be thinking about position, light, what am I going to, you know, how am I going to improvise this around this? Yeah, it just kept you on your toes. It was such a lovely, lovely film.
It really is.
And Bookie's just amazing. Yeah, she's just amazing.
You do a lot of plays, right? You do the plays. You do proper plays.
Yeah, I do a lot of plays. I do proper plays. A lot of plays.
What's the longest run of a play you've ever done?
Some of them feel longer than they actually are. I remember doing The Crucible and thinking, this is bloody long. It was like going on for 4 hours. And I was looking at the director.
Yeah, that is long.
She likes a lot of gritty stuff. And I was looking at her and go, she's going to cut it. At some point, she's going to cut it. Just like previews. She's like determined not to cut this.
4 hours.
4 hours. I did a one-woman show. That was pretty bloody long. To the point I started seeing, I was like, one point I'd forgot my lines and I was waiting for the character to come in. But I was playing the character. So it's like a split second when I was like, I was kind of going, what's happening? And then I was like, shit, it's me. I'm supposed to be speaking.
I'm all the parts. Wow, what was that? What was the one-woman show?
It was called The Bogus Woman, written by Kate Adshead. It was a brilliant play. And it was about this woman that was seeking asylum in this country. And it was around the time of the Labour government, so early 90s. And it was about her and how she falls through the cracks. It was a very heavy play. Through the cracks of the system.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. But then, do you know, that's how I got Theo as my agent. Theo came to see it with Mike Lee.
Oh, really?
So at Jackson's Lane. Do you remember Jackson's Lane?
Yeah, I've done there, yeah.
Yeah, so I had an audition with Mike Lee for a film, which was turned out to be Happy Go Lucky. And he was like, well, I'm going to come and see you. And it was like a mid-scale tour. We'd taken it to New York and Australia. And then we were like doing like this mid-scale tour. Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to either come to Croydon Library or Crawley. I was like, Mike Lee comes to Crawley. I was like, oh my God. Then he came to Jackson's Lane. And he said to, I think he said to Theo, this is what he told me. He said, I told Theo, she better take you because you're going to get snapped up. I didn't get snapped up. Only person that came was Theo. and Theo took me on, yeah.
Oh, wow. Are you ever allowed to say, I've heard from someone, but I've never said it on the podcast, I don't even know, I always wonder if it's like secrecy or whatever, what you did for a Mike Lee audition, or are you not allowed to say? Is it secrets?
I don't think you're allowed to say. It's just like, he just answers you to come in the room and do something, and then you just do something. Not, you know, all above board.
It sounds so much worse. Obviously, you know, we're all sworn to secrecy.
But it's all clean. It's all clean.
You come in the room and he asks you to do something. We can't talk about it.
He steps out and then he steps in.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is a revelation.
It's wrong, isn't it?
Seems like it is, yeah. And when you did that one, Happy Go Lucky, from what I understand, you filmed for like 6 months or something, and then you don't know what's being used and what's in the film.
No, it was a very long process. Yeah. It's a very long process.
And when you saw the film, were you like, oh, that's what you were doing?
Yeah, I was like, at least I made the film. Because I was like, I'd heard all kinds of rumors how people get cut. Yeah. I was like, at least I made the film.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Madness. Long time.
Yeah.
Sarah Niles. Oh, fuck.
Yes.
I've forgotten to tell you something. Huh? Oh, Sarah. Oh, no. I did write it down and I was going to read it. Oh, fuck. I should have said it at the beginning, actually, but... you've died. You're dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's actually awful, yeah. I'm going to miss you. How did you die?
A slow, painful death.
Wow, okay.
I choked at a party.
Oh wow! In front of lots of people at a dinner
loved
party.
Ones. Yeah.
Fucking hell! You had the dinner party.
I was
with
laughing.
Loved ones.
Yeah.
I like that. You died laughing, but very slowly and painfully.
Yeah.
Do you know what you were choking on?
Probably an olive. I'm never really into martinis, and I maybe had a.
Oh my God! How many of your loved ones were there?
I mean, there was a few people I didn't care for. But probably my old school friends, theatre buddies.
And so you were choking very slowly and painfully. People tried to help, but they did.
They did try to help, but I think there was a lot of time where they were just deciding what to do. There was a lot of confusion about what to do.
Yeah.
And then I got tired of it. I was like, let me out.
Right.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, this is your decision. You get to choose how you die.
I didn't know that. I didn't know.
That's what you chose.
Oh no!
It's a shame.
Could have done something else.
On the upside, you were laughing. On the downside, it was slow and painful, and no one helped you. Yeah. Do you worry about death?
Yes.
Do you? Can we talk about it?
I have a fear. I don't think I fear it myself. I think I fear other people dying, and then loved ones, how they would feel if I died. It's more about that. And I thought, should I go and work somewhere where I'm just like face to face with death all the time?
Yeah.
In order to overcome it. But
what do you think happens when you die?
Is there a light? I think there's a light.
Yeah.
I have no bloody idea. I think this whole idea of it being there's a tunnel and there's a light and you see your loved ones, I'm not sure. I think I'd be in the waiting room for quite some time. I think I'd be in like a waiting room waiting.
What's happening in the waiting room? There's like, as in, because there's a queue or because they're sort of making
it's just
judgments.
You in the waiting room. It's just you in the waiting room. Then they call your name and then you're off. And I'm like, what about the lights? Where's the angel? Where's the lessons of my life? Where's the book?
So it's just a waiting room, like a doctor's, just like a sort of bland waiting room.
Yeah, but the old fact, you know, those old fashioned doctors. I don't know if you ever had those surgeries, the old-fashioned doctor surgeries, where it looked like someone's living room.
Yeah.
Well, I went to one of those. It looked like someone's living room, but it was actually a waiting room. Instead of it being packed with patients, it's just you in the room, and it's grey.
Are there, like, House and Garden magazine on the side, or are you just sat? Is there anything to
read? Maybe there's magazines. Maybe there's magazines and you get onto a really good magazine and you get distracted and then your name comes up and it's time to go. That's what I reckon.
When your name comes up, does someone come out or is it just an announcement and you go for a door?
Announcement.
Right. Can you do some acting and do the voice that will announce it? What does it sound like?
I think it would be like one of those automated ones. Be like, Sarah Niles.
Okay. Yeah. And then you go through the door, and then what happens on the outside of the door?
I don't know. It's probably, I don't know. It could be just black. And as you walk, little lights come up. I don't know.
Like sort of like
to think about it, Brett.
Like a sort of a disco dance floor.
Yeah, or like, do you remember the cinemas when you used to have the little lights? Little lights used to be there and it used to be pitch black. Maybe something like that, but as you move, the lights go on. Yeah, yeah.
I like that. But then because a lot of what's happening in your death is there's an awful lot of sort of journey. You know, you've been in the waiting room, now you're going and these lights are ahead of you. But what's at the end of this path?
Don't know. It's a bit like my life, really. It's been a journey.
Yeah.
I don't know what's at the end.
Well, I'm going to bloody tell you. It's heaven. It's heaven, baby. You've walked along these lighted panels and there's another door and you go in there and it is fucking great. It is filled with your favourite thing. What's your favourite thing?
I love music. Oh. So there's got to be music in there.
It's about time someone said music. No one said that. This heaven is fucking great. There's music everywhere. The walls are made of vinyl records. The seats are turntables. You can get comfy. And everyone sings beautifully if you want them to. And there's even people with guitars who will only play when you want them to. And it's just beautiful. Everyone's so excited to see you. And everyone speaks in rhyme. It's really lovely. And everyone's just very excited to see you. And they want to talk about your life. They're huge fans, but they want to talk about your life through the medium of film. And the first thing they ask you is, what's the first film you remember seeing?
The first film I remember seeing, my mum used to take us to the cinema. So I think she took us to see The Black Hole. Do you know that film?
I do know The Black Hole, the Disney film.
Yeah, I think she took me to see that. But I didn't understand what was going on, apart from it was in the middle of like a black hole. It's like Odyssey, space. But yeah, that was one. Yeah, and I used to have this, what do you call it, the Fisher Price. Mine was red, and you'd get those
little viewfinder.
Viewfinder, and I had one of the. Yeah, she bought me the one with the black hole, and I'd be looking through.
The Black Hole, as far as I remember, and I have seen it, it was a Disney film and they made it after Star Wars. It was meant to be like their version of Star Wars. But it's incredibly dark and it ends with them all going into a black hole and sort of floating off to death.
Yeah.
Mad.
I've watched it again quite a few years back and I still didn't understand quite. I was just bored. Couldn't quite understand what was going on. But I remember watching that film and I'm like, it's amazing and scary space.
Yeah. When you say we took us, how many of you went? Do you have
me and my sister? Yeah, my mum was really into sci-fi. She took us to see Star Wars as well, but she was into sci-fi. Yeah.
Is your sister older or younger?
Older.
And where was this?
This was in Streatham. My brother he used to have the wallpaper.
Oh, what?
My brother had the wallpaper.
For the black hole?
My mum bought him the wallpaper for the black hole. He had it in his room. He had the best wallpaper. You know those days when you got really good wallpaper? He had that. I think he had Maximilian's, a Battlestar Galactica. I think he had on that. Really cool.
What was your wallpaper?
Flowers, floral, very floral. Mm. Pinks and magnolia.
Right. Not as cool as the black hole, I suppose.
No.
What a dark film. Do you remember thinking, I like the cinema, or were you just like, this is fucking scary?
That was scary. I mean, I did love the cinema because you used to go down, like I said, it was pitch black and you used to have somebody to come and check your tickets.
Mm.
You'd have someone to come and check your tickets and you'd go down and go up maybe with a torch and they'd guide you to the seat and you'd go down to the seat and you'd sit down. I love that. I miss that kind of magic where it's like dark and mysterious.
Yeah.
Someone's got a torch and you've got to wait your turn. You're eager to get in the seat. You've got to wait your turn. And if you're late, the trailers are up and stuff like that. But
you're right. It's more of an event.
Yeah.
What is the film that made you cry the most? Do you cry a lot, Sarah Niles?
Yeah, I was always told I was a sensitive child. Yeah. I used to cry a lot at movies. My daughter's the same. She cried a lot at Jungle Book. Oh, bless. But the film that I watched that made me, do you know, there were so many. E.T. was one, but The Champ. Do you remember The Champ?
Oh, The Champ.
John Voight.
Jesus Christ.
Faye Dunaway. Yeah. And what was the kid's name? Oh, gosh.
Isn't it Ricky Schroeder?
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. That film. Oh, ridiculous. When you look back at it now, it's just like, no. Was it with the fact, she was kind of like the mum was going to take him away, and he wanted John Voight's character. He was like used to be a pro boxer, really successful boxer, but he turned to alcohol and gambling, and he was going to get his son taken away. And the only way he was going to get custody is if he took another fight so he could provide for his son. And there's a whole scene where he's begging him, you know, wake up, wake up, wake up. You're the champ. Wake up.
God, what a horrible film.
It's awful. slightly manipulative when you think about it, but it was very good acting.
It's a horrible film.
I know.
Do you like crying?
Yes, it's cathartic. I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's like a cleansing.
It's one of my hobbies.
It's one of my hobbies. I think I cry a lot more since I've had a kid. I think I cry a lot more. And yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That really makes sense.
It's a funny one because I feel like when I was younger, I found that really uncomfortable to cry. I just couldn't cope with crying of this poor boy losing his dad. I was just like, it's too much. But as I've got older, I'm kind of like, I understand it. I've been more understanding about that feeling.
What about being scared? Oh. Do you like being scared?
No, I do not. And the older I've got, the worse it's got. I mean, during COVID, I kept thinking I need to watch more horror movies. I really had this strong feeling to watch lots of horror movies. But no, I don't like being... I've watched, some crazy... They were crazy kind of films like Dolls. Things like Dolls. And did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
That's so stupid. And Nightmare on Elm Street, I remember watching that. Yeah, but
what's the one that scared you the most?
Oh, bloody, it's Exorcist.
Fair enough.
It's Exorcist. I remember my brother and my mum and dad are getting ready to they're going to go and watch it. And they're like, it's time for you to go to bed. So I pretended to go to bed, but I watched through the crack of the door.
Oh, God.
Like a fool.
Yeah.
Fool I was. Oh my gosh, I could not sleep after that. The whole religion and the fusion of religion and sex and possession was like, what?
It's nasty, that film.
It's really awful.
Yeah, it is really. I don't think I understood it when I was little, because I did watch it when I was little and I thought it was sort of boring. I didn't get it. And then I watched it a couple of years ago and I was like, fucking hell, this is so dark. Yeah.
It's so dark. It's when she turns her head round and, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And she's like, this, your mother's like, and she talks like that. And it's like, oh, my God.
I want to cast you in the reboot. We've got to do a reboot.
Oh, please. That'd be great. That'd be
That'd
so
be great.
Good. Wouldn't it?
That's a good idea.
Well, that's a genius idea.
What's the film that people don't like? It's not critically acclaimed, but you love it unconditionally.
It was hard to decide on this one. There's so many, but there's one. I'm not sure that I think people do love this film. It's Scrooged. I love Bill Murray. Love Bill Murray. And some of the effects were questionable, like the ghosts. But I love that film. I kind of religiously watch it if I can, nearly every Christmas. And it's got one of my favourite actresses in it, Alfre Woodard. I just love her. She's brilliant.
She's great.
She's so good. I'm sure a lot of that film is improvised. I just think it's so funny.
I wonder if it is. That's a nice... You can have that. That's a great answer.
I can have that one.
You can have that.
I'm sure there's far worse films.
On the other hand, what's a film that you used to love, but you've watched it recently and you've gone, oh, no, I don't like this anymore?
Well, that would definitely be Ghost. I can't bear that.
Why? I haven't watched it in years. What's wrong with Ghost?
I haven't watched it in years, I think. I think if I watched it again, I'd probably be a bit more forgiving. But it was, I think I was caught up in the romance.
Yeah.
Chick Swayze. I'm thinking, oh, this is so sexy, so romantic. And then you think about it, it's like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, this was a hard one. I had Ghost and I had Breakfast at Tiffany's, which I still love, but it's probably not appropriate. Mickey Rooney.
Breakfast at Tiffany's has quite a huge problem in it that is extraordinary when you watch it. It's mind blowing. It's mind blowing, the problem in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Like, it's not like if you said to someone, "Watch Breakfast at Tiffany's, it's a classic." There's something a bit off in it. See if you can spot it. And then
that's pretty bad. Yeah.
You'd be like, "Oh, you mean that?" It's really outrageous. It's wild.
It really is.
Yeah, it's quite a big part of the film.
You can't pretend that it's not there. Yeah, and it goes on and on. Yeah.
It's incredible that it was okay at the time.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
It's mad. But yeah, the rest of the film, lovely. Sure. Sure.
She looks great. She looks great.
The cat's not, I love the song. Love the song.
Yeah.
Beautiful. What about the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but the experience you had around seeing the film will always make it special to you, Sarah Niles.
That would be Imitation of Life. Have you seen this movie?
This is Douglas Sirk film.
Yes.
Talk to me.
Okay, I watched this. It was, in the days when you'd sit with nothing to do on a weekend. Mm-hmm. Mostly a Saturday, and they would show the movies on TV, and I remember my mum talking about it was one of the first films she saw in Barbados with her dad, and I was like, wow, it's that old. And then I remember watching it, and I remember my mum just in tears. She was in tears. And then I've watched it again and again over a number of years. I love that film so much. It's just such a struggle, that film. And I think about those two brothers, and particularly, is it Juanita, the mother, and her raising mixed race child in those times, and her totally rejecting the mum, and then it's too late by the time she turned around and wants to run to her, she's dying. And then you've got Mahalia Jackson singing. Oh my gosh, what a song. Yeah, I love that film. I just remember seeing my mum crying so much. And I was just is she going to recover from that film? Yeah. It's really odd when you're a child and you see your parent cry.
Yeah. Like, good title, Imitation of Life.
It is.
Deep.
Really good performances.
Do you like the Far From Heaven? You've seen that, the Todd Haynes, with Julianne Moore. And it's kind of, it's like a Douglas Sirk homage.
Yeah.
I believe. I wonder if you'd enjoy that.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I think I would. I love Julianne Moore.
She's the best.
She's bloody gorgeous.
She really is.
I'm going to write it down. She's when I saw, I've seen her in so much stuff. But when I saw her in Big Lebowski, I was like, yeah. She could be one of my girl crushes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she's great.
What about the film you most relate to? What's the film you most relate to?
I watched this film a while back, and that was Pressure, Horace Ove. And it was set in London, and it was like this young boy trying to, like, born in England, and he's trying to work out being British, and his family's from the Caribbean. And it was about, him just trying to get a job. And that was one film that I really related to. This is really hard because I'm terrible at making decisions, and it was that one. And then I saw Lulu Wang's The Farewell, and I thought, that could be my family. It's just, really? And The Secrets, I just loved it. It just somehow resonated to me, the cooking of food and preparing of food, the keeping the secrets from the grandmother, and just trying to, but it's bloody funny. I think it's something about the immigrant. I think that's what it, as well.
Would your family keep a secret from the grandma, like the secret in The Farewell?
I think definitely. I mean, my grandparents are no longer around, but I think not as extreme as that, but I think they would keep secrets. They all keep secrets. These little gems start coming out as they get older. They all keep secrets. Their families, how they keep together and hide things.
Interesting. Okay. I haven't heard their secrets.
But I always feel like particularly, I can only really speak from a Caribbean perspective, like my family. I feel like, particularly mothers, I think they missed a trick when they invited people to come over and work on the buses in the hospitals. They should have got them to work for secret intelligence.
You're so... That's fucking great.
I'm telling you, they missed a trick.
I want to make that film even more than I want to reboot The Exorcist with you as Regan. That's a great idea.
They missed a bloody trick, I'm telling you. I've talked to lots of my friends, who, you know, their parents or grandmothers or something, especially like with Alzheimer's and stuff like that. Some of them, even with that, they'll hold those secrets to the grave, man.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. You think they're going to leak certain things out?
Nothing will. They're impenetrable. I respect that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. What is, here we go, Sarah Nas, I'm sorry to do this to you. What's the sexiest film you've ever seen?
Oh my God. See, this was hard because I like, I was thinking, what sexy film? I was thinking, oh, Moonlight's really sexy. No, it's not. It's a tender film. It's a love story. And I was like, the one I could remember that was making me like kind of uncomfortable when I watched it was She's Gotta Have It. Spike Lee,
oh,
She's
yeah,
Gotta
yeah,
Have
yeah,
It.
Yeah.
The film.
That's
I remember
a sexy
going,
film, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you know, I thought I remember that one being sexy, but for me, uncomfortably, because I was quite young at the time, going, this is too raunchy. She's with this person and that person and this person. I remember that definitely. She was gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just, I think for me, like, she had so much agency over her sexuality that kind of freaked me out. At the time.
Yes, sure.
Yes, yes.
What, there's a subcategory to this question, troubling boners, worrying wide-ons. What's a film found arousing that you weren't sure you should?
Again, I was young. I know someone else has mentioned this film, but not for this reason. It's got to be Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck.
That is a perfect answer, as long as you mean the duck.
I think about animals at the time. I mean the duck. Mm. I mean the duck. That was kind of, yeah.
What's extraordinary about that is not that you were attracted to a duck. It's that Howard's a bit of a dickhead. I think it says more about that's the troubling bit. It's like, I don't mind that he's a duck. It's just Howard's not, you know, he's a bit of a dick, isn't he? Howard the duck.
I was young and foolish. He had...
He was a bad duck.
He had something about him. And yeah, he was a bad duck. He had something about him. And she was kind of like, oh, and it was when he started quivering in his tail.
Yeah.
that's too revealing.
I love you for answering that properly. So few people do. I also think you saying, we had something about him for Howard the Duck. It's.
He has something about wonderful. Him, especially when they're singing that song at the end, you know. Howard the Duck. Yeah, he was kind of, yeah.
Yeah, he had something about him, didn't he? He had a way. You thought, yeah, he's trouble. I don't mind it.
I think we should quickly pass.
What is objectively, the greatest film of all time?
I'm going to say, I mean, there's loads, but... I want to say, don't judge me, but I love this film so much. It's Stir Crazy. Anything with Gene Wilder and anything with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. Oh my gosh, that combination. It's like, that's crazy. It just makes me feel good. So
that's that great. Film. What a magic combo they were.
Oh man, yeah. I'm sure there's some things in there that are totally inappropriate for our time, but...
Yeah, I'm almost definitely sure. It's funny.
Yeah.
What about, what's the film you could or have watched the most over and over again?
The Producers. There's a Mel Brooks connection. The Producers.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that film. I remember one point when I was like having depression, I would play the opening of the film right up to where Gene Wilder comes in and his baby blue blanket. I would watch that on repeat and then I'd go off on my day. Love that film. Absolutely love it. Zero Mostel, genius.
Yeah.
Genius. Yeah.
Do you love the musical? Did you see the musical?
I didn't see the musical. I just felt like I was kind of a bit purist about it. And I wish I had seen it, actually.
It's really funny. I think you'd have been all right with it because Mel Brooks had written it. It wasn't
Yeah, it's true.
It's very funny.
Yeah, but I think after watching it on repeat, I was a bit obsessed with Gene Wilder. I was just like,
yeah.
But he's so... Yeah.
Was he a crush of yours?
Probably, yeah. Oddball. Yeah, probably a crush of mine.
Something about him.
It was something about him. I loved, yeah, Charlie and Chocolate Factory. I loved him in that. And I could tell he slightly hated the children. But
oh, yeah?
Just brilliant. Just the imagination. He's just, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's a bit of magic.
Yeah.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Yes.
I don't like being negative, Sarah Niles, but we have to briefly. What's the worst film you ever saw?
Do you know, I'd put any of those bad kung fu movies, like with Steven Seagal, I hate them. My mama loves them, cannot stand them. But I was going to say, it's kind of like I still have a love-hate relationship with it. It's probably Gremlins too.
How dare you?
I know, but I love it. Do you know what? I was in a comic shop, you know, and they had the kind of like these sized versions of the little gremlins.
Wicked.
In lovely little boxes, and I thought, yeah, when I've got more money than sense, I'm going to buy a lot of those. I absolutely love them, but yeah, it's Gremlins, because I love Gremlins 1, and I'd have to say,
I'm team Gremlins 2 might be better.
Do you think so?
I love Gremlins 2.
Oh dear.
Funny.
Brett.
It's funny, it's wild, it's got a musical sequence where they sing New York, New York. It's got lady gremlin. It's got a clever gremlin. Cool. It's got a back gremlin. Yeah. It's got a satire on Trump long before he was.
He
a
was.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's got Lex Luthor's dad in it. It's fucking
That's
brilliant.
That's true. Yeah, I should have gone with Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm really mad at you. But that's okay. Brett. That's okay. But I am angry at you. No, you know what? I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
You're disappointed. I've let you down. That's even worse. I'd rather you be angry. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to watch it again and then
have a think. Have a think about what you've done today. Yeah.
Think about what you've said.
Yeah. What is? Okay, you're in comedy. You're very funny. What's the film that made you laugh the most?
Oh my gosh! I've said producers. I've said. Do you know what? One I actually I can't keep. Do you know what? I really laughed. The Big Lebowski. I loved it. Yeah. It's got one of my favourites, John Turturro. I absolutely love him. He's definitely one of my crushes.
He's got something.
Yeah. Bridges, man. He's just so cool. Everything. There's just so much. There's so much in that film that I absolutely love. I find myself going around, my wife has ample allowance. Just relaying pieces from the film. But it is and John Goodman is brilliant. It's so funny. I've watched it so many times. Yeah, another one.
Sarah Niles, you've been absolutely wonderful, as expected. However,
oh, bless you,
when you were given the choice of how to die, you decided on a dinner party. You were having a dinner party and you were surrounded by loved ones, but also quite a few people you didn't want there as well. Basically, it's kind of a nightmare dinner party. Yeah. And you were handed a cosmopolitan, I believe, and it had an olive in it. Is that right? A cosmopolitan? Is that what has olives in?
Is that the one that has the olive? Is it martini?
It was a martini. And you said, cheers! And you downed it, and the olive went straight into your throat and got caught. And you were laughing. And you started laughing, but you then started choking. And people were like, is she laughing or is she choking? and all your friends had like a meeting about it. They all met around the other side. You were just choking slowly, very painfully and very slowly choking to death. And all your friends went around the other end of the table and had a little meeting. Do you think she's still laughing or do you think she's choking? And one of them said, should we try and help her? And then the other one said, do you know the Heimlich manoeuvre? And it's like, some, one of them said, well, I've seen it in a film, but I don't know how easy it is in real life. So then they tried to Google it. One, they couldn't get the Wi-Fi password. Who's got the Wi-Fi? Meanwhile, you're still on the other side of the table, very slowly and painfully choking. And then one of them goes, sorry, could you get the... Do you have, like, the modem for your Wi-Fi? Because it's quite... And they go... And the,
oh, my God.
And the person goes, oh, God, it's a really complicated Wi-Fi. It's actually, like, loads of capital letters and some small letters and numbers and symbols. Go and get... John, go and get the actual box. Take a picture of it on your phone and bring it in here and then we can put the Wi-Fi in. God. Meanwhile, you're still very slowly, painfully choking. All your friends...
This is dark and cruel.
All your friends...
Dark and
they
cruel.
They take comes back to Wi-Fi, reads it out to one of your friends. It's like, capital W, little W, little I, 7, 6, capital N. And the person goes, oh, shit, I'm sorry, can we start again? Go, yep. W, capital, you're still choking slightly, painfully. So, capital W, big W, and a little I. I'm so sorry, I think I'm nervous. Can you start again, just very slowly? So it's a capital W, and they finally get the Wi-Fi password, and then they're like, how do you spell Heimlich? How do you spell... Because I put in Heimlich, and it's just a video of Heim performing and someone like licking a microphone. Meanwhile, you're very slowly, painfully choking to death. Or you're... And all your friends, anyway, one of them goes, oh, yeah, I like that band. Heim. Yeah, no, not Heim. It's Heimlich Manoeuvre. Anyway, you then collapse to the floor. They still go, oh, God, what do we do? Well, just, I still need the password. And then one of them says, oh, I think maybe she's dead. And they go, oh, shit, I'm walking past with a coffin. I knock on the window. I go, are you having a dinner party? I hate dinner parties. And they go, yeah, this one's been quite bad, actually. And I go, why? And they go, I think while we were trying to fit a Wi-Fi password in, Sarah died from choking on an olive. And I was like, well, that's awful. So I come in. I try and pack you into the coffin. But because of all the air you'd taken in as you were swallowing the martini, you've actually, like, puffed up quite a lot. And your body is now... much bigger than it normally is. And so that isn't the right size for the coffin. So then I have to get your friends and go, bring some knives and stuff. I have to chop you up. Everyone's...
Oh, my.
Everyone's
goodness.
Joining in, chopping you up. It's quite a bonding exercise for everyone in a way. And then everyone puts all your bits in the coffin. And the coffin is absolutely rammed. And just to reiterate, this was your choice. The coffin is absolutely rammed. And there's only enough room in this coffin. Enough room in this coffin. By the way, when we chopped you up, you know what happened? An olive popped out. Hit someone in the forehead. Anyway, there's only enough room in this coffin for me to slip one DVD into the side. And you can take that to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. What film are you taking to show the people of heaven when you get out of that waiting room, you go along the lit pathway, and it's your movie night? What film, Sarah Niles?
I'm going to go for the film I Don't Feel at Home Anymore.
Ooh.
Do you know that one? I might get bored after a few. No, I love Melanie. Melanie Lynskey, she is brilliant.
What a great
I love
choice.
The film. So I think I would, yeah. I Don't Feel at Home Anymore. Yeah. Is that what it's called? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we love that film.
So your film that you're presenting to the people of heaven who are listening to music all the time is I Don't Feel at Home Anymore. And they're going to say to you...
In this world anymore.
You are home now. You're home.
Oh.
Sarah Niles.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Brett Goldstein.
Is there anything you would like to tell people to listen for, look out for, watch, go to, study with you?
No.
Ted Lasso season 3, I suppose, when that comes.
Of course. I thought you were going to say that, so I didn't say
it. Oh, no. Is there anything else? Are there plays?
No plays. I've got a little thing, I don't know when it's coming out, called The Toxic Avenger, which I'm very, very, very...
That's cool.
And you might spot another lady from Ted Lasso in it. Well, you definitely spot.
Who?
Shall I give you... She runs a pub.
May.
May.
No shit. What are you? Oh, yeah. We've all got to watch that then.
Toxic Avenger.
Sarah Naz, you're a delight.
Yes.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you doing this. I know you didn't want to do it. And I know I forced you to see this, so I'm really grateful that you did.
A bit shy.
You were brilliant. Why would you ever be?
Aww.
Why would you ever worry? Thank you. I will stop the recording. And good day to you.
Okay. Good day to you.
So that was episode 203. Head over to patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra chat, secrets and videos with Sarah Niles. Thank you to Sarah for doing the show. Thanks to Scroobius Pip, the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. Come and join me next week for another absolute classic. I hope you're all well. So that is it for now. In the meantime, have a lovely week and please be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.